In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is an Ember Day in the old calendar, meaning it's a day of penance and fasting with a commemoration of St. Linus, Pope and Martyr. Both of these eclipsed Padre Pio, at least until he ended up on the old calendar, but even then an Ember Day would take precedence. But an Ember Day of penance is perfect for the day that Padre Pio died, the anniversary of his death. As I said before Mass, we have a first-class relic of Padre Pio on the epistle side of the altar rail for you to venerate after Holy Mass. I want to look at two quotes, pieces of advice that Padre Pio gave to others, to unravel a little bit of the mystery of his life and a little bit of the mystery of our own lives, so full of suffering and love. The first quote by Padre Pio I want to look at is this, quote, "Jesus is with you even when you don't feel his presence. He is never so close to you as he is during your spiritual battles. He is always there, close to you, encouraging you to fight your battle courageously. He is there to ward off the enemy's blows so that you may not be hurt." Close quote. August 15th, 1914. Here's what I want to say about that quote. You know, many good Catholics believe that trials in life, suffering in their life, they think this is proof that God does not love them, that God has abandoned them. This idea comes from Protestantism. It's called the health and wealth gospel. Some even more ancient Protestant traditions, long before the health and wealth gospel, believe that suffering came from an unconfessed sin in our life, since Jesus was supposed to have taken all of our sin and suffering. Maybe you've met a Protestant who, if there's suffering in your life, says, "Is there some sin? What did you do wrong?" But if we look at Jesus and Mary, we understand that the holiest have taken on great sufferings. Because the Catholic view is this: Jesus did take all of our sin and all of our suffering on the cross, but he leaves a little suffering for us to make reparation for our own sins and the expiation for other sins. This is not an idea from the Middle Ages. This goes all the way back to apostolic times. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Quote, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is wanting in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." You cannot understand the life of Padre Pio without this line from the Apostle Paul. I mean, think about the life of Padre Pio, suffering the crucifixion and his own stigmata wounds for 50 years exactly. 50 years with the stigmata. Padre Pio truly made up for what was wanting in the suffering of a church with so many attacks against it, for a Europe killing herself against each other in two great world wars that Padre Pio lived through. Really, when you try to describe that old line, "offer it up," that nuns used to give 50 years ago, "offer it up," they would say, if you're suffering, too many Catholics have dismissed that as old and irrelevant. But even that phrase, "offer it up," comes back to the Bible, that line I just gave you, Colossians 1:24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is wanting in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." Of course, we look at the cross and we say, what could possibly be wanting in the sufferings of Christ? The answer is nothing. It was 100.000% of what the world needed for redemption. 100%. But what is wanting is your participation and mine in the cross. And some saints step up to the plate to an extraordinary degree. In fact, they all do. But some are more visible in this, like Padre Pio. Because Padre Pio, he experienced much shame, as he called it, for how he was singled out by the church, half of whom loved him, half of whom hated him. I think he felt shame before both groups. Shame that some people who had power did not like him. Shame that millions of lay people loved him so much. He didn't think he was worthy of that. But remember, he was always obedient when he was not permitted to offer public mass. Padre Pio also offered up many physical afflictions in his own body, in his own flesh. As the Apostle Paul said, he filled up what was wanting in Christ's own afflictions. Our suffering also means being able to suffer and die like Christ for others. Padre Pio exemplified this because in a Europe that had just endured two world wars, the world needed a man who would be able to suffer and die like Christ for others. This was Padre Pio. But it's also why we Catholics need these Ember Days of fasting, so that we can be a little more like Jesus and his saints. Because reparation is making up for my sins, and expiation is making up for others' sins. If that sounds legalistic or mathematical or against grace, just go look at Colossians 1:24 again. 100% of the sacrifice takes place on Calvary, but because we are integrated in our baptism in the mystical body, as like a cell in the mystical body of Christ, we too are called to participate, because as long as sin continues in the world, so also must suffering. As long as sin continues in the world, so also must the Holy Mass continue in the world to continue to make reparation. And this is why we join our sufferings to what happens in Mass, the single sacrifice of Christ. And in that, we become partakers in his glory. As I said, reparation is making up for my own past sins. Expiation is making up for other sins. When I was in seminary, I asked a very old holy Jesuit. He was my spiritual director, and I was suffering so much in seminary for just trying to be Catholic. And I asked him if it was reparation for my own past many sins or expiation for other sins. And the wise old Jesuit basically said, "It's none of your business. Just keep going in life to Christ with his church." Fulton Sheen describes expiation as a skin graft, that in the mystical body of Christ, say you have a burn on your left hand, you take some skin from the right hand and put it over there. That's all expiation is. It's making up for others' wounds and sins. And Padre Pio, who heard the confessions of 2 million people through the span of two world wars, Jesus knew that someone would have to foot the bill with him. And this was Padre Pio. This was the gift given to Padre Pio. He was that skin graft of the 20th century, like many, many martyrs, but in a visible way for 50 years carrying the stigmata. A skin graft of expiation for sins. And one last note on the Ember Days. We heard in Leviticus 23, if you were following along in your missal, it even used the word in Latin, expiation. This is what these days are for, expiation. Doesn't mean we become snotty and self-righteous and say, "I'm one of the few Catholics in the world who's actually fasting on an Ember Day, so I'm making up for the sins of the rest of the world." No, maybe we're just making up for our own pride as traditionalists at times. Maybe it's only reparation, but the point is, just do it anyway. Whether it's reparation for past sins or current pride or expiation for all the horrible things happening in the world, you don't exactly have to figure it out. Unite it with the one sacrifice of Calvary at the Mass here, in love, in faith, and in hope. Last quote from Padre Pio. We'll close with this. He says, quote, "Don't be daunted by the cross. The surest test of love consists in suffering for the loved one. And if God suffered so much for love, the pain we suffer for him becomes as lovable as love itself." Close quote. The surest test of love consists in suffering for the loved one. And if God suffered so much for love, the pain we suffer for him becomes as lovable as love itself. 14th of July, 1914. What Padre Pio is saying is that pain becomes love if we let Jesus make it so. And this is why we need not be afraid of the cross. The cross is in our lives. Padre Pio even went so far as to say, the greater your sufferings, the greater God's love for you. The greater your sufferings, the greater God's love for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.